Blog Talk Radio. Radio. Live broadcast, Yahweh's Radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast is not on there. We're in 3-4 voices at the same time. All right, we live broadcast, Yahweh's Radio, live broadcast, the on-the-air special edition called Thursday Evening. And we got a lot of memos on the table, a lot of distraction, got everything going. But we're going to do our part to get in what we fit in it. Yahweh be with you all, and we'll stroll down the international side and see what the hush and fuss is all about. And we'll peep on the international side, and we'll see what we can get going on. That's what we'll do. Let's see what's going on the international side. All the slots are still. 195 international countries. That's a great thing. And what's flashing out of New York? Got a lot of memos. Just got it coming in as we speak. All right, all the slots are filled, 195 international countries, 103-506. 103-506, got a lot of questions. See if can you answer this. I'll tell you what to do. Call the international line and you get somebody to answer that. 3506, 103-506. What we'll do, we'll give them skills in. We'll see if we can entertain what we can entertain. And what we can't do, we can't do. No doubt about it. Start with Kevin and bring him in and see what we can get going on this another broadcast, special edition called Thursday Evening. When you meet your brother with a loud voice, you say, Brother Mr. Tibbs, Yahweh beat C. Wright.
And Yahweh bless you, Brother C. as well as C. Royal. Hallelujah. Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, Mr. Tibbs. Well, got a lot of memos on the table. A lot of memos, a lot of questions, a lot of everything, and if when you don't say the right thing on the network, they'll pull a plug on you like they did me yesterday. So I don't know. I suspect only the big New York station. So 195 international countries, 103-506. Take your time and let me read a couple of these memos. You're on the clock. Come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Brother Searsville. And thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. And I do believe that magical increase number is 103,506 listeners that came to hear the words of Yahweh. Well, at this time, it makes me think, how many people listening really understand? I've been exposed to a lot of stuff in the last few days of people reading the Bible, interpreting their scriptures quite a bit. I'm beginning to pay more attention to it now, more so than ever. There was a brother on the phone with me yesterday from the ministry that witnessed one person that would always be deceptive in his thinking. So I wondered, was it deception or confusion? Sometimes those two can be on similar basis. So later, I had someone to read a scripture. I said, okay, read this. Let's see what it means to you. So they read the scripture again. And it made me think of how many people, even some in the ministry, Yahweh's ministry, you ask them, okay, what does that scripture mean to you? They'll turn around, no decipher of the scripture, but read the scripture again. So this let me know that they can understand what they read it, but they can't place it in the correct order. And that's what we do here at Yahuwah's Ministry. Not only do we read the Bible, we interpret it. And we understand what we read, and we pass it on to others. There was a gentleman in the Bible that did the same thing. I wonder if anyone knows about this particular story. This guy, this gentleman's name was Philip. In the book of Acts, chapter 30, verses 31 to 32. Let's see what this guy Philip did. In verse number 30, it says, "And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet, seer Elias, and said, Understand what thou readest. 31. And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. 32. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so he opened not his mouth. So I read that because it's making me think a lot about the people that read the scriptures, and they interpret them wrong, and they pass it to someone else that is wrong. We have many people out here that need this word. Let me think. What did Yahuwah the Son do in Galilee and regions around when he was there? In the book of Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 to 21, 14 said, And then the Son returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and there went about a fame of him throughout all the regions round about. 15, and he taught in their synagogues, temples, being glorified of all. 16, and when he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and his custom was, he went into the synagogue's temple on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. 17, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet seer Elias. And he had opened the book, and he found in the place where it was written. 18, the spirit of the Yahuwah is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel covenant to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering the sight of the blind." Well, we can't do all what Yahuwah the Son has did, but we can deliver you the word as it was written. That's why I always say we all came to hear things that most of us can hear. And some listening never understand, and that's without proper teaching. So we welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast, because there are a lot of us that come for the good of Yahuwah's word on this broadcast. We commend it, add unto it, and some cast the same words we hear behind their backs. What that does is not so good to others learning the word of Yahuwah. And I know many have seen just as much. These are the people who have to realize we're here for one reason. That's not who sits on your left or on your right. To spread rumors, that's to teach the word of Yahuwah. So without proper teaching, we end up meeting the blind who leads the blind. Well, it's not people who can't see. These are blind leaders that are leading you in the blind directions. Teaching you their double-minded speeches. Well, we're here to welcome you to our broadcast, as I said before, that comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about connecting your books for your biblical education, your health, foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. And we do this because you have not. This is information that you came to seek and found that what you have sought in Yahuwah's ministry. That's open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days that we're open is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. No class on Tuesday. Take note on that, Zebra. No class on Tuesday. But we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of the Sabbath is Friday, which current time is 7:15 to 10:15 until the temple members desire to leave. The bottom part is Saturday. The temple class starts at 12 p.m. and the online class for the listeners starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this, open up any search engine on any one of your current smart devices. Right on the search line, enter www.tribeyhdh.com. Just under the line, you're going to see some choices. One is going to be tithes and offering. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you might see menu. But after clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings and follow the same instructions as you did for previous use. Doing so, take note of what it says in the Book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, "Give unto the Yahuwah, O your kindreds of the people. Give unto Yahuwah glory and strength. 8. Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts." I always remind everyone that when doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves the cheerful giver. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give what's in your mind to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahuwah alive. Also to build a school, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also, while there, don't forget to check the calendar. It will keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the feast days that come to you throughout the year. For the live program, this is a feature that's only available during the live broadcast time. To get there, open up any search engine on any one of your devices. This time, type in three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click on it, look for True Name Teachers. Click the red live button. As soon as this appears, you'll be right into our live online broadcast. We currently have two email addresses. The first, which is tribe, that's tribeyhdh@gmail.com. This is to write your written opinions, questions of a biblical subject answered, or related topics. The other is yhdhysrael@gmail.com. This is also for biblical subjects or related topics. Once again, I'd like to remind you, please do not call any previous numbers for the seer. Doing program time is not to disturb Yahuwah's words. We've taken a few verses from the Bible to explain why. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse number 13 says, "He that answers a matter before he's heard it is folly, shame unto him." The backup verse for that is in the book of Sirach, chapter 11, verse 8. It says, "Answer not before thou have heard the cause, neither interrupt men in the midst of their talk." But after listening to this, there's still those that do the opposite of what the scriptures say. They will call during the program announcement or call disruption when the words of Yahuwah are being spoken unto you. I'm beginning to see they just ignore or may not be familiar with what Yahuwah the Son has said in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 29. Yahuwah the Son answered and said unto them, "You do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of Yahuwah." Once again, we'll touch on the information about contacting a seer direct for questions via voicemail or text. He's usually busy answering many memos that most of us have seen, even today. Even having thoughts of running just a memo show. That one I wouldn't want to see. Responding to the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man. And mostly important, preparing Yahuwah's lesson before our program starts. Remember, the seer is also only one man, limited by Yahuwah's creation to do only 100% of what one man can do. So, please place all your calls to the international line. You will receive a call back if it's legit, because many of our questions can be answered by one of our anointed camps. Thank you for your consideration. Yahuwah will be with you all. Now, the numbers you can righteously call with Yahuwah in mind, the first is the live conference room number. This is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number, as I previously mentioned before. You can call, leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. But I guess you might imagine by now, not this year. He's often tried to exceed Yahuwah's creation of 100% and found that this was impossible. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of our program, you can always listen to the entire show at 9:15, except for Fridays. Current program will be repeated after 10:30 for Fridays. To use this, open up any search engine, once again, on any one of those devices, enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. Now, after you click enter, look for True Name Teachers. Choose the program that you are late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. Another good note, we're also in the process of making it possible to get a CD or DVD recording of any program by request. Just call the international line to order any particular day or number of days. Well, you can tell this is going to be another exciting day for the Word of Yahuwah. And we see that nothing has changed except the number of people in an increasing fashion that come for Yahuwah's Word. Those that commend it, add unto it, only following by others casting the same words behind their back. As I mentioned before, liking only certain verses in the Bible and taking them meaning another way, along with the noisemakers, complainers, and I don't want to forget the deceptive listener, flipping the pages in the Bible to look like they're paying attention, but when you ask them to speak the words of Yahuwah, they're clearly lost. The problem is, seriously, time is not in our favor, but the best is yet to come. We can only do 100% of what a man or woman that was Yahuwah created to do in this life, and that's if at all possible. Because if anyone ever says they've even done 101%, they just lie. I know I find myself coming close to 80, trying to stretch that under. So if you find somebody going further than that, they're going past Yahuwah's creation. Now that's impossible. What Yahuwah's son said about the impossible was in the book of Matthew 19:26. 26 says, Yahuwah the Son beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with Yahuwah all things are possible. You have to remember, as we start going through the Bible and we start to relish in its meaning, it tells us, as a man or woman, you're measured by your works, the things we think, do, and say. And you can imagine there's a lot that don't say the right things, definitely don't think the right things, and from what you can hear, they're not doing it. In the book of James, chapter 2, verse 18 says, yea, a man or woman may say, thou hast faith, I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So this is why we always have to say that a teacher always has to show worthiness. Because a teacher that opens the door for his students, he has to walk through that same door himself. Because there's those that are out there that ask questions, as I mentioned earlier, for learning, and they're pretty serious about wanting to learn Yahuwah's word. And those that ask questions to see if you really know or to trip you up, like a Pharisee. That's why I always say a teacher can't learn from his students. But already having knowledge, a teacher gains experience by teaching. So we move on, and we discover that after we receive usable lessons from the Bible on how to righteously proceed according to Scripture, don't be misled by friendly deception. Yahweh gave man and woman free will. A choice is what you said. You just have to make sure you choose the right one. This is told us in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 19. 19 says, I call on heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Well, without a doubt, I know exactly which one I would choose. I would choose the life so I can move on. So don't forget the things that was mentioned to us in mind and body. So at this time, I will pass our program back over to our seer, Israel. Probably a good idea to take notes so you can get those scriptures defined later on the international line this year, as mentioned earlier. It's a good thing to take notes, especially if you have questions on Bible verses. So this time, I'll pass the program over. I'll say hallelujah, Yahweh.
Yes, that's right. I'm going to tell you something. I'll be taking notes. I'll be taking notes myself on everything that do comes in the broadcast myself. I'm a person taking notes myself. So those that will never advance themselves, they're going to have to. You have to take notes, not just take notes on your telephone. You have to take notes on some paper. Say, this is really something else, but we know these days is on the table, so, hey, we're ready to do our part, no doubt about it. All right, good enough. So we're going to keep on finding Bari Yagdai Israel. Then one thing, Saturday only, another darkness away. One thing is very important, see, we have to understand one thing. We make the plane pertain to what you got to do. And you have to see what's quiet, but our job is to make sure you hear it. It's up to you to take it, but the man is saying. Father Yahweh Israel. Yahweh be to have seen right.
Yahweh bless you, see Israel. I see you royal. Hallelujah,
Yahweh. Hallelujah, Father Yahweh Israel. Well, like I said again, we know we got a lot of work to do there, Brother Yahweh Israel, but we're too comfortable with words that we use, and the words that we use is going to mess around and catch us up. And so we don't know where we're going, but we look at these memos. Luke chapter 12, verse 12, Brother Yahweh Israel. Let's see, can we take a look, and we're going to snatch a memo and go from there after we hear some Luke. Chapter 12, verse 12, come on.
Book of Luke, chapter 12, verse number 12 read, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
Excellent. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. Because Paul was telling, he was telling Northern Kingdom. He was telling Northern Kingdom something, Brother Yahweh Israel. We're going to see what was he telling Northern Kingdom in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9 and 10. He was talking to Northern Kingdom because his job was to find Northern Kingdom. So we found the Northern Kingdom. He said something to them in the 13th chapter, verse 9 and 10. Can we find out what did he say there, Brother Yahweh Israel?
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse number 9 and verse number 10 reads. Book of 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Verse 10. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away.
That's big talk here, Brother Yahweh Israel. You got to read that again. That's big talk. So like I said again, we want the best of them, bump the gongs, but that's big talk he telling Northern Kingdom. Say it again. 13 chapter verse 9 and 10. What did he say again?
1 Corinthians 13 verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Verse 10. But when that is which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away.
Well, that which is perfect come. So that got a double meaning to it, Brother Yahdai Israel. So what is that which is perfect come? What have came and perfect? What have came that we can read? Psalm 19:7. What do Psalm 19:7 say? But I then just go right down to Deuteronomy 29:29. He said, now, so what he's saying, see, Roy, this is what we mess up at, because we only prophesize in part. And what that means, let's go outside the Bible, hold them two verses up. Let's go outside of the time and read what it says in 19:10. What do we prophesize in part? What do we prophesize in part by going to Revelation 19:10?
The book of Revelation, chapter 19:10 reads. Book of Revelation 19:10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. He said unto me, see thou do it not. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren that have the covenant of Yahweh the Son. Worship Yahweh, for the covenant of Yahweh the Son is the spirit of prophecy.
The covenant of Yahweh is the spirit of prophecy. So that's why we prophesize in part, because the spirit of Yahweh, it is prophecy. So it ain't nothing done away with. And see, this is the point we're making. If you want to find out what this man is saying, and to understand, you got to do what the man tell you to do to understand what he's saying. That's the only way you understand what he's saying. You got to follow the roadmap that was given to the Father, to the Son, to bring down to the minister spirit, to bring down to the seers. Do you always going to be confused? And you will never have the right spirit in your face because you'll be trying to come up another way. And anytime you come up another way, you're going to be a St. John 10:1. What is that? And this is what you're going to be. A St. John 10:1, when you try to come up another way, when you don't find your answers in this book, you're going to be on St. John 10:1, and what does it say?
The book of St. John, chapter 10:1 reads, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, he or she that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber.
Because Apostle Paul was telling Northern Kingdom a profound statement in the 3rd chapter 9-17. He looked them eyeball to eyeball when he found them, and he made a profound statement to them in 1 Corinthians 3:9-17. He looked at them, and he said something to them. I ain't forgot about the two verses we got. Come back to that properly after we get through with this. 3:9-17, he said something. And what did he say?
Look at 1 Corinthians 3:9-17 reads, 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are laborers together with Yahweh. You are Yahweh's husbandry. You are Yahweh's building. 10, according to the mercy of Yahweh, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But every man take heed how they buildeth thereupon. Verse 11. For the foundation can no man or woman lay than that which is laid, which is Yahweh the Son. Verse 12. Now if any man or woman build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. Verse 13. Every man and woman's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man and woman's work, of what sort it is. Verse 14, if any man and woman work abide, which they have built thereupon, they shall receive a reward. Verse 15, if any man and woman's work shall be burnt, they shall suffer loss, but they themselves shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Verse 16, know ye not that you are the temple of Yahweh, that the spirit of Yahweh dwelleth in you. Verse 17, if any man or woman defile the temple of Yahweh, him or her shall Yahweh destroy. For the temple of Yahweh is righteous, the temple you are.
Read verse 9 and 10 again, that brother Yahweh Israel. What is it saying, verse 9 and 10 again?
The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 9 and 10. Verse number 9. For we are laborers together with Yahweh. You are Yahweh's husbandry. You are Yahweh's building. Verse 10. According to the mercy of Yahweh, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man and woman take heed how they build it thereupon.
Read verse 9 again, Brother Yahweh Israel. Verse 9 again.
Verse number 9, for we are laborers together with Yahweh the Son. You are Yahweh's husbandry. You are Yahweh's building.
That is one of the greatest mystery in teaching. Because he made it plain, I'm going to hold them two verses now. Write it down for me, Brother Yahweh Israel. I'm coming back with him. Because he made it plain in the book of Ephesians. He made it plain there, Brother Yahweh Israel. I mean, I ain't forgot what we was on, but sometimes you have to rev back and just let the good times roll. He made it plain in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 4, down to 6. What do you say in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 through 6? What do you say there, Brother Yahweh Israel?
Book of Ephesians 4, verse number 4 through 6 reads, Book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse number 4. There is one body, one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Yahweh, one covenant, one baptism. Verse number 6. One Yahweh and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all.
The man saying, so that man is telling you that, see, this is what kind of information folks have passed down, but it got away from us through our disobedience. It ain't but one way, see, Roger. He was saying it ain't but one people supposed to be talking when it comes down to the Bible. But everybody's talking. See, but when you look at when you analyze the Bible, everybody's talking, but the Bible says it ain't number one spirit, one hope, one covenant, one. But then all of a sudden you ask, what about the other folks? You're not hearing what the man is saying, according to Corinthians 12. See, we're not hearing what he's saying, and then when they don't like, that's why we keep telling you, see, Roy, we need our own radio station. But when they don't like when we bring this to the table, that regardless about how much you want to hear, it ain't but one way this Bible will be dealt with. Look, it says in 12, verse 12. What does it say in 12, verse 12 there, Brother Yahweh Israel?
1 Corinthians.
Yes, sir. Chapter 12, verse 12. What does it say there, Brother Yahweh Israel? 12 and 13.
The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 and verse number 13 reads, Book of 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 12. For as the body is one and have many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Yahweh the Son. Verse 13. For by one spirit, are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Yahweh Judah, Southern Kingdom, or 10 Northern tribes, whether we be bond or free, they have been all made to drink into one spirit.
Mm-hmm. And then he says in 18 down to verse 20 and 25, what he says in verse 18 to 20 and 25. What did he say, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Book of 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 18. When I have Yahuwah set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. Verse number 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Verse 20. But now are they many members, yet but one body. Verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another.
Mm-hmm. So if he ain't got but one body, and he charged of his word who he wants to be in charge of his word. That was Paul was telling Northern Kingdom. He said, listen. He said, let me tell you something, Northern Kingdom. I'm all that you got. Because I was chosen, they ain't going to read in Romans chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. I was chosen to go take care of this business with you with the precept of the ninth chapter of the book of Acts. I was precept to come take care of this business for you. This is not my doing. And in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 16, he said he was even raised from the womb to take care of his business. And he was raised from the womb to not to be right. Matter of fact, in Jeremiah, he was raised from the womb to be to do some things, as same as Jeremiah was in the first chapter. So you don't want the lion, like in last night's lesson, you don't want the lion to meet you for being disobedient once you understand your position in his word. Because when they was told soundly about the man of Yahuwah to go down there and tell Northern Kingdom to get up off, give it up and turn it loose and don't eat or drink and get on back to the Southern Kingdom, he let somebody say to him from the Northern Kingdom, I am a seer also as you are. And that's the greatest disaster. It don't work like that, seer, right? You know, you don't work like that. So Jeremiah was told in the first chapter what he going to be working with, same thing that Paul was talked about. What did Yahuwah tell him in 1 verse 9? What did he say he was going to do?
The book of Galatians.
Well, make it Jeremiah 1:9. What happened in 1:9 there, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Because Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 9 reads, then Yahuwah put forth his hand and touched my mouth. Yahuwah said unto me, behold, I put my words in your mouth.
See, I put my words in your mouth not to be a patty cake ministry. See, this ministry is not a patty cake ministry, and we leave the best of them, but one thing we do with the best of them, before we read any more, just what we do with the best of them, 24, 31, well, make it 32. Just what we do with the best of them there, Brother Yahdai Israel, and Luke 24, verse 32. What do we do with the best of them in the 24th chapter of Luke? And what do we do in 24th chapter of Luke? Verse number 32. What we do that, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Book of Luke 24, verse number 32 reads, they said one to another, did not our mind burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?
You know what we do, see, right here? We follow the instructions of Yahuwah. You got to make sure, especially in the leadership of the Six Anointed Camps, you got to open up the scripture. You got to open up the scripture to make sure you line up with some Yahuwah. You got to open these structures up and make the mass burn. They might not like it, but one thing about it, when they get where they got to get to, when they really sit down, they ain't going to find nothing in the structure to go against it. I don't think they just got the spirit off, just off. Not right spirit. Now, come back to Jeremiah again, 1. Now, we read verse 9. And what did Yahuwah tell him in 12, 11, and 10? What did he say in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, 12, 11, and 10? What did he say, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse number 12. Then said Yahuwah to me, I have well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Verse number 11. Moreover, the word of Yahuwah came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest you? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Verse 10. See, this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pour down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant.
So otherwise, the Roman Academists of Yahuwah, don't be looking forward for no pats on the back. Don't look forward to be a likable person if you carry Yahuwah's word. You know, if you carry Yahuwah's word, don't look for nothing but what the book says is going to happen. You is not going to be a likable fellow. But one thing about it, you be likable in Yahuwah. Because one thing about it, it shows you because he'll have you where you have something going for you. And this one, you know, you're working with Yahuwah, right? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Let me show you where you know when you got an idea, you got to go in the Bible. The things you're working with Yahuwah, right? In the book of Proverbs there, Brother Yahdai Israel, I got a lot of memos on tape, but we're going to take a look at something in Proverbs. I want to see what something said in the book of Proverbs there, Brother Yahdai Israel, chapter 3. If you know what I'm looking for, that's a great thing. I'm looking for something in Proverbs to tell you exactly what the old seer on. And matter of fact, the majority of the six anointed camps on it too. The majority of the six anointed camps got this right here all tied in. And this one, you know you're working with something. So, Brother Yahdai Israel, well, man, I can't even find what book I'm looking for again. Proverbs. Okay. Now, if you got the verse that I'm looking for, Brother Yahdai Israel, in the book of Proverbs, if you got what I'm looking for, you go ahead on and take off. And the book of Proverbs. Yes, sir.
Book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse number 24 reads, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and your sleep shall be sweet.
And I got a problem the way it is. You know, I try sometimes to every now and then count to. I know I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to try to count to something. I don't even recall counting to one. That's the problem we make in Steve Ray. And that's when you know you're working with something. Because Jeremiah, in the 36th chapter, in the last three lines, can you help me out with Jeremiah, what's going on with Jeremiah? See, you got to understand something. The peoples of Yahuwah, Jeremiah 36, the last three lines in 12, let's see what it says about Jeremiah.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 36. Verse number 12. And Gomorrah, the son of Shaphan, Zedekiah.
Hold that point. I don't know why I'm looking at Jeremiah. I'm looking at Jeremiah, but I'm over in 2 Chronicles 36. Make it 2 Chronicles 36, the last three lines, and 2 Chronicles 36, there, Brother Yahdai Israel. And 2 Chronicles 36, we're still talking about old Jeremiah for a minute. What about old Jeremiah, the last three lines? What does it say about it?
The book of 2 Chronicles 36, verse number 18.
Well, make it verse 12 to get warmed up. Make it 36 verse 12 and give me the last three lines and pick up at his name.
The book of 2 Chronicles chapter 36 verse number 12 reads, Jeremiah the seer speaking from the mouth of Yahweh.
See, that's what he talked about. This has been one of the greatest mysteries in teaching. When we make sure we put on the table what this man is saying, and you want the best of them say, well, here we go again. What do you mean here we go again? We are going to tell you what this man is saying, and look at the time we're going to do it in verse 15, and then look what Yahweh said, if you keep on paying old seal, no, never mind, in verse 16. What does it say in verse 15 and 16?
Verse number 15, 2 Chronicles 36, verse 15. And Yahweh of their fathers sent to them by his messenger, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. Verse 16, for they mocked the messenger of Yahweh and despised his words, misused his seers, until the wrath of Yahweh arose against his people, till there was no remedy.
So what we're telling you, see, right here, is certain things you cannot do. It's certain things that get you cut off from Yahweh. And what gets you in a lot of trouble with Yahweh when you do exactly what happened here. Now I want to pull a rabbit out of head. Help me out. Now, you see what he said? Read that verse 16 again, and that gives me a chance to kind of be in First Kings waiting on you, brother Yahweh Israel. Now, read that verse again. Now, look what happens when you do such a thing. You might get mocked or see on the telephone. And you don't know one thing. What you be doing, you only making Yahweh saying, that fellow, that young lady, that old lady, whatever, there's no remedy behind what you're doing. Now, read that verse again, and we'll get a case in point in First Kings.
The book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, verse number 16 reads, but they mocked the messenger of Yahweh, despised his words, misused his seers, until the wrath of Yahweh rose against his people, till there was no remedy.
And there was no remedy. Now, we'll get a case in point. Now, I'm going to get a case in point to precept there. We're going to get a case in point by precepting that. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 2. Now, let me show you what's written, the pictures in your mind. Verse 23 down to verse 24. Let's see what happens here. Same thing happened when you disobeyed what the brother did in 1 Kings 13. He was told what not to do, but he got it anyway. He came from another way, and Yahweh prepared a nice big old line to wait on it. It's a big line. What you waiting on? He said, I'm waiting on a specific person to cut his throat. And he was waiting on a specific person to cut his throat for being disobedient. See, one thing about it, see, right here, we going to cause the way this Bible is, because we read that when you being disobedient in leadership, Yahweh is going to say sooner or later, is without remedy, no more remedy. And the signs will be in your health, in the way you carry yourself, in your facial appearance. You always look disembodied, you always something wrong with you. That's a sign that Yahweh is not pleased with you. That's the key thing right here. Now look what happened here in 2 Kings, chapter 2, verse 23 down to verse 24. Look at this real good.
The book of 2 Kings, chapter 3, chapter 2, verse number 23 down to 22 down to 24. The book of 2 Kings, chapter 2, verse 22. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. Verse 23, and he went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, Go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head. Verse 24. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of Yahuwah. There came forth two she-bears out of the wood and carried 40 and two children of them.
What's your father's name? What's your father's name? That's what the first section first in the book of Sirach, 4 verse 6. What's your father's name? What does it mean he turned around and cursed them and all of a sudden two she-bears came and just took their nuts and babies, everybody? Just like that. What happened? You got to preach up your Bible to see what happened. What happened? So 4 verse 6, what happened? Bring it.
The book of Sirach, chapter 4, verse number 6. For if he curse you, and the bitterness of his mind, his prayer shall be heard of him that made him.
You hear the man say it? Let's come back to Psalm chapter 19, verse 7. Matter of fact, I'll come back again and read what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9 and 10. But let's see, can we digress and grab a little bit of that one more time? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9 and 10 says what, Brother Yahdai Israel?
The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse number 9 and 10 reads, Book of 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Verse 10. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away.
Mm-hmm. And remember, the Bible has double meaning to it, see, right? So we're going to look at 19, verse 7. Let's see what is perfect, 19, verse 7 and 8. He said, when perfect comes, we know the big purpose is the spiritual Yahweh the Son when he comes, because he ain't coming back the way he was once before. We understand that. But what he have left for us in perfect, I mean, what have we left to us in perfect? We want to see what he left for us. Can we take a look at it? 19, verse 7 and 8. What he have left for us that is perfect?
The book of Psalm 19, verse number 7. The Torah instruction of Yahuwah is perfect, converting the people. The covenant of Yahuwah is sure, making wise the simple. Verse number 8. The statutes of Yahuwah are right, rejoicing the mind. The Torah instruction of Yahuwah is pure, enlightening the eye.
Deuteronomy 29:29. So you see, right, he left something perfect for you. And but what mystifies us, we want to go and do like the lesson of the 16:19. We want to go outside of the book and look what already perfect is telling you exactly about the 16:19 in the Bible. And tell you all about the 16:19. What's going to happen in the future on the 16:19, but they want to build a teaching about a 16:19, but leave it outside the Bible, and then put Esau on that teaching. And if Esau was to be steal as a son, then what are you doing sending all them bills in your mailbox for? If he steals a son, then what is... Why we can receive them bills in that doggone mailbox about if you don't pay me or make some arrangement with me, I'm going to cut something off. So that don't sound like the head of the snake is cut off to me. Matter of fact, what does Psalm 136:10 say before we read 29:29? Well, what do it say in Psalm 136, verse 10 there, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Book of Psalm 136. Verse number 10 reads, Psalm 136, verse 10. To him that smote Egypt, polluted from Mizraim, and their firstborn, for his mercy endure forever.
What did he say in 15:14 in Genesis behind that? Did he tell Abraham something in 15:14? Matter of fact, read verse 13 just to kind of recap it in 13 and 14. What did you tell Abraham? 15, 13, and 14.
The book of Genesis, chapter 15, verse number 13, and verse number 14 reads, book of Genesis 15, verse number 13, he said unto Abram, know of a surety that your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. It shall serve them. They shall afflict them 400 years. Verse 14. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterwards shall they come out with great substance.
You see what David said in 1000 B.C.? What Yahweh did? That's what he said he did in 1000 B.C. But we'll mess around and jump on 1619 and talk about some 1619, some 400 years of that, and now the 400 years up, and you don't even know your name, you don't know where you're from, you don't know how you're supposed to be dressing, you don't know how your mindset will be. Some 400 years, you have to precept your Bible to find the 400 years. You can't go and read a statement saying, well, it was the first time that you came to the land that was brought by the captain named John C-O-L-Y-N-J-O-P-E. This is the guy that came and brought some slaves from Angola over here for another reason, because he was up under the Dutch payment book. He was up under the Dutch. This guy right here, he the one brought them people that in last night lesson tell you exactly what he brought. But then you said it's the first time you came to shore. Now that don't even make no sense. How's the first time you came to shore and over there in Jonestown in 1619, first time you coming there, then what you gonna do with the 13th chapter verse 40-47 in the second book of Ezra, what it say? What you gonna do with this? How is this the first time that you coming to the shores of anybody's town and knowing the fact that the 13th chapter, 40-47, is laying out there like a big billboard sign, and you will say, this one, we first came to America, and we came over here in Jonestown somewhere. And here the book in the 13th chapter, 40-47, of the contrary, says what? What does it say, Brother Yahdai Israel?
The book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 13, verse 42-47 reads, 2nd Ezra, chapter 13, verse number 42, that they might there keep their statues, which they never kept in their own land. Verse 43. And they entered into Euphrates by the narrow passage of the river. Verse 44. For the Most High then showed signs for them, and he stilled the flood till they were passed over. Verse 45. For through that country there was a great way to go, namely of a year and a half. And the same region is called the land of Shem, polluted, or Osiris, polluted for the western land of Shem. Verse 46. Then dwell they there until the latter time. And now when they shall begin to come. Verse 47. The Most High shall stay the springs of the stream again, that they may go through. Therefore saw thou the multitude with peace.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell me something. These are the who? Now, who he said these is, that brother out there, Israel? These are, now back up and say, these are the who? Back up again and tell me a name. I need to know something that I can do a little precept on. These are who, Brother Yahdai Israel?
These are the 10 tribes.
These are the 10 tribes. So he's telling you, these are the 10 tribes. You see? So now, these are the 10 tribes. Now, Do you stop right there, or do you go and get in your Bible and find out? If they put that in there, saying what happens? These are the 10 tribes. Now, what you want to know is who in writing is the 10 tribes? Because then, if you sit there and understand you and read that these are the 10 tribes that's in the BC that came to the second land of Shem. These are the 10 tribes. So now you got to go in your Bible and find out, well, who is the 10 tribes? Who is the 10 tribes? Now, help me out there, Brother Yahya Israel, because it's, you know, we got, and then you mess around and put other names on the 10 tribes, and this is where you slow your blessing down and everything around you. You got to have a precept to find out who is the 10 tribes. And thank you, that Brother Yahdai Israel in 2 Samuel chapter 19, to go into your Bible and see what the Bible says. These are 10 tribes. Why do you think this book is a novel? This book ain't no novel. You got to do what the man tell you to do to have the answer according to the Bible. Do what the man tell you to do. He tell you what to do. All you got to do is have the right spirit on you. He'll show you every time what you do. These are 10 tribes. Who is the 10 tribes? What you talking about? Go in your Bible and look at 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 42 and 43. What does it say there, Brother Yahdai Israel?
It will go 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 42 and verse 43 reads, 2 Samuel 19, verse 42. Now the men of Yahdai Judah, southern kingdom, answered the men of Israel, northern kingdom, because the king is near of kin to us. Wherefore then be you angry for this matter? Have we eaten at all the king's costs, or have we he given us any gifts? Verse 43. And the men of Israel, northern kingdom, answered the men of Yahdai Judah, southern kingdom, and said, we have 10 pockets in the king, and we have also more right than David than you. Why then did you despise us, that our advice should not be first? Head and bring back our king.
They are 10 cards. Now, who is the day sitting? Now, you got Judah and Israel talking back and forth. So they say, we is 10 cards. So we should have more talk by having 10, and you ain't but 2. So now, you still don't stop precepting your Bible. You don't have to have no confused look on your face and you're standing all around. That means one thing. You got to get your act together to be able to deal with Yahweh's word. Back of the first king. What's going on in verse 29? And we'll take it out to verse, matter of fact, read verse 32 and just get a name on it to come back to 29 and 31. What it says in 1 Kings chapter, what I say, 11:32. Give me a name real quick in 32, verse 32.
Book of 1 Kings chapter 11, verse number 32 reads, but he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake and for your God Judah's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel.
Now who's that doing all that big, tall, big britches talking? Who did do football do all that big time, big British teaching, talking in verse 29? Who do all that great big talking there, Brother Yahdai Israel? I'm got happy already. Who do all that verse, that great big talking in 29 to 31?
The book of 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 29. It came to pass at that time when Jeroboam went out of Yahdai Judah, that the seer Ahijah, the Shilonite, found him in the way, and he had clad himself with a new garment, and they too were alone in the field. Verse number 30. And Ahijah the seer caught the new garment that was on him, and rent it in 12 pieces. Verse 31. And he said to Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith Yahweh of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, southern kingdom, and will give thee 10 tribes to you.
See, that's why the seers of the Bible talk. You see, they did, took his garment snap the case out of his mouth real quick and tuck him, that garment off him, tore up in 12 pieces, and take these 10 pieces. You over the 10 northern kingdom. That's your assignment from this point on. That's what, see, this is what we're trying to tell you. See, we're so busy caught up with Christianity, and we get so excited we'll make us get excited at Brother Yahdai Israel and Second Chronicles chapter 11, verse 6. You see, but we got to understand something. Second, the six anointed camps got dripping from them, the 11th chapter, verse 6. And that's when you know who you're working with, if they, the one that present themselves with the Second Corinthians 11, verse 6. What did you say that, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Because Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 6 reads, because Second Corinthians 11, verse number 6, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things.
You know, we really can just play music the rest of the night behind that kind of stuff. So you see what we're saying, see, right? This is a lick. You got to line up with the Bible. You can't be all confused, always a backbiter, tail bearer, and you can't go in the Bible and precept your Bible. You ain't got a clue how to do so. And then you're always disembobulated. You know, the 36th chapter, Paul was to write the future. In the 36th chapter and 44, just give me some of, you give me something out of there, because time won't run out there, Brother Yahdai Israel. Go to the vision of Paul in 36. Paul going to say something in 36. And I'm going to read down, I'm looking for just one word out of the 36th. This is a little short. But Paul was brought to the third attempt to take a look at some things. This was Paul is talking when it's all said and done in 36. What do you think? What do you think about the vision of Paul 36 there, Brother Yahdai Israel? We're going to look at 36 and 44, and we'll set it off right there. That'd be good enough. So I want to look at something Paul is in. Is going to show you what you got to get yourself prepared for. He is seeing the future. He's showing Paul the future. And what he got written in 36? Come on.
The vision of Paul. Verse number 36 reads, vision of Paul. Verse number 36. And I saw another man in the fiery river up to his knees. While his hands were stretched out and bloody, words proceeded from his mouth and nostrils. And he was groaning and weeping and crying. He said, have pity on me, for I am hurt above the rest who are in this punishment. Now I asked, sir, who is this? He said to me, this man who thou seest was a deacon who devoured the oblations and committed fornication, did not write in the sight of Yahweh. For this call he is unceasingly pays this penalty. Now look closely and saw alongside of him another man whom they delivered up with haste and cast into the fiery river. And he was in it up to the knees. And there came a minister spirit who was set over the punishment having a great fiery razor. And with it he cut the lips of that man and the tongue likewise, and sighed and lamented and asked, who is that, sir? And he said to me, he whom thou seest was a reader and read to the people, but he himself did not keep the precepts of Yahweh. Now he also pays the proper penalty.
Ain't that something? He said he did not keep the precepts, and he going to pay a penalty if you going to open his Bible up and you do not precept your Bible. So Paul is writing on the one that had the Bible in their hand. And he said, is a penalty for those that carry his word and do not know how to precept his word. He said it is a penalty for not knowing how to precept your Bible. And Paul is looking at the future. Read that part again. And he said the ministry spirit came and cut his throat. Came and cut his throat. Otherwise, you have some preachers that's going to be in the grave and wake them back up. And then they're going to be woke up to see the ministry spirit that with a fiery raise in his hand, he's going to come and wake you up out of your long sleep and cut your throat for not doing what? It is what it is. And cut your throat, especially the one that hammer his word, and you do not precept his Bible. We just read, the reason he get his throat cut is for what reason in the future. Read it again, Brother Yahdai Israel. Read it. See what he say? Paul is talking about the future. What did he say?
The vision of Paul, verse number 36. And I looked closely and saw alongside of him another man, whom they delivered up with haste and cast into the fiery river, and he was in it up to the knees. There came a righteous minister spirit who was set over the punishment, having a great fiery razor. With it he cut the lips of that man, and the tongue likewise. And sighed I lamented and asked, who is that, sir? And he said to me, he whom thou seest was a reader and read to the people, but he himself did not keep the precept of Yahweh.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something? And you got them kicking against the precept. Do you know the fear of God tell you, if you're going to sit there and be a teacher, or you were over that Bible said you been talking something out of the Bible, and you don't do it the way the man tell you do it, that way the outcome right there. It's a deal. It's a deal. Right there. That's the future. Future right there. Now, we'll close out with this. Let's go to 16th chapter. Now we're going to the 16th chapter, and we're gonna read it. We're gonna read it right out of the regular book now. In the 16th chapter, in the regular book, it says in Luke 16, what did it say the clothing that the man was wearing in verse 19? What kind of clothing was he wearing?
The book of Luke, chapter 16.
What kind of clothing was he wearing?
Book of Luke 16, verse number 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen.
And what did he do? He was clothed in purple. Purple, huh? Oh, that purple looked good. The purple is for the 17 nations. That's their strict clothing. That's the clothes that they wear in the 17 mother nations. That's their royalty color. That's their royalty color, purple. You understand that, C-Ray? The royalty color in the 17 nations, that is their color. That's what they wear. Now, this king, this man of royalty, he had on the purple. No, he had on purple. Now, by him having on that purple there, Brother Yahdai Israel, in 19 verse 5, let me show you a mock job that they did, a mock job. 19 verse 5 of St. John. This is what they did to the leader, of the 12,000 of Israel. Let's see what they're doing over here.
The book of St. John, chapter 19, verse number 5.
Yeah, read verse 4 just to make it sound good.
The book of St. John, chapter 19, verse number 4. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Verse number 5. Then came Yahweh the Son forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe.
See that, everybody? The purple robe, they mocked him. They've taken off his garment and put a purple robe on Yahuwah the Son. They was mocking this man with all his power to catch up with him. They was wearing they were purple. That's their color. And he messed around, and they put on a purple robe on some Yahuwah the Son. Now, come back to Deuteronomy 29:29, and we'll just leave it like that. We'll leave it like that. What does it say in Deuteronomy 29:29?
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29, verse 29 reads, "The secret thing belong unto Yahuwah or Yahuwah, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and our family forever, that we may do all the words of this Torah instructions."
See, we come on his network and reveal to you what this man's saying. You know what we do? We come and reveal to you what this man's saying in writing. That's what we do. We reveal it to you, see, right? Brother Yahdai Israel, until this time it gets dark tomorrow, Yahuwah be with you. What's your closing statement is? You're on the clock tomorrow.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Love the way it's rolling out there, Sir Israel of the Royal. I'd like to read a paragraph from the book of the Two Babylons, page number 94. And it reads, this was precisely the way in which, according to Durusus, the drunken festival of the month, Tebet, after 2 hours December, in other words, the festival of Bacchus was celebrated in Babylon. It was the custom, says he, during the 5 days it lasted, for masters to be in subjection to their servants. And one of them ruled the house, clothed in purple garments, like a king. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, you know, everybody get excited, but we show you, you know, our job is to tell you what time it is. When we tell you about what this man's saying, like this man tell you about your garments and your fringes on and women give us some pants and all that, we be telling what the man is saying. See, and then you kick against what the man is saying, but it's only to your own words. Just like the man that had the purple on. The man had the purple on because that was the royalty of the 17 nations. But when we come back off the break, we're going to show you exactly what the man of purple ended up, what happened to the man of purple by he wants to wear the purple. And we're going to tell you what happened to this man by wearing the purple. Mr. Tills, what's your closing thoughts in this case? Come on. What are you saying, WCC? What are you saying? Oh, that's what you're saying. Oh. Well, what can I say? You're doing it. It's your radio broadcast, and that's the way it is. So when we try to bring you what you need to know, and we try to answer your question, you still do what you got to do. That's why we keep telling you, see, right? You got to stop being a reaction. You got to be proactive. We're telling you what the man is going to get you on. The man going to get you on some things to come. He said, now, if you do not know how to precept your Bible, do not try to teach nobody the Bible, because we read that Paul was shown the future. And the future says one thing. If you do not precept your Bible and you a teacher or a reader, and you're going to sit there and try to explain something to the back of the Bible and you don't precept your Bible, you just read exactly what's going to happen to you, and Paul told exactly what's going to happen to you. You know, I don't know what the network doing. The network got this thing all tied out on us. Somebody got new signs all over the place. What's that supposed to mean? Sister G. Israel, Yahuwah B.J.C. Ready. You can have all
bless you, Siri Israel, a seed royal. Hallelujah, wow.
Hallelujah, wow. Hallelujah, wow, Siri Israel. You can have all over these things. What you trying to do there, WCC? So we trying to tell you something, Dad, what's going to happen to you? And Paul was shown the future. He was shown exactly, and our job is to tell you what this man saying. Because if we don't tell you what this man is saying, like, for example, in Sister G Israel, like a case in point, over here, look what was said to the man of Yahweh, what to do and not to do. In 1 Kings 13, he was given assignment to do something. Let's see what was told to see, the man of Yahweh. It was a man of Yahweh sent down to northern kingdom. He was going to look him eyeball to eyeball in 13th chapter. And let's see what was told by him according to what we can read in 13, verse 1, 2, and 3. What it says in 1 Kings 13, 1, 2, and 3, Sister G, Israel, you on the clock, come on.
1 Kings chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. And behold, there came a man of Yahweh out of Yahweh Judah by the word of Yahweh unto Bethel and Jeroboam, stood by the altar to burn incense till. And he cried against the altar in the word of Yahweh and said, O altar, altar, thus saith Yahweh, behold, a child shall be born unto the family of David, Hoshea by name. And upon you shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon you, and men's bones shall be burnt upon you. 3. And he gave a sign the same day, and saying, this is the sign which Yahweh has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out.
So I said to him, listen to you, some northern kingdom. Y'all have jumped up there and done some things that's out of order, and the man of Yahweh is coming to tell you something that you're out of order, and you told him something. But now here comes the big gold pockets. Look at the big gold pocket says, when he heard that stuff in verse number 7. Let's see what he say in 7-9. But here come big gold pockets. We was told what to do. Now here come big gold pockets to talk to the man of Yahweh and what he say in 7 down to verse 9.
Verse 7. And the king said unto the man of Yahweh, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. 8. And the man of Yahweh said unto the king, if you will give me half your house, I will not go in with you, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. 9. For so was it charged me by the word of Yahweh, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that you camest.
See that? So he was well instructed on what he's supposed to do, just like the six of Northern Camp, well instructed on what we got to do. He said, this man of Yahweh, he told the king. He said, well, now I've been instructed now just to tell you what he's telling you with your wicked tail, and I got to go on by my business. You see that? He said, I got a reward for you. He said, no, I don't care what about your reward. I know one thing, your reward going to get me cut off. He knew that he was going to get cut off because he told the man, look here, I don't care what's on the table. I got to tell you some stuff, says Yahweh, and that's what you try to tell you. Stuff says Yahweh. And then same token, the people get excited. But I tell you one thing, you can get excited if you want. We're going to read what's going to happen to you if you don't obey when you hear from the seer and the sixth anointed camp. You don't obey, what's your outcome going to be? Matter of fact, go to Vision of Paul 44 and let's find out. What are you going to tell you? Go to Vision 44. And the Paul right here, end times prophecy. So when we tell you something, it's because we know what the man is saying. So you can puff your mouth up and you can continue to stiff your own neck. But he already got a ring. Hold that part right there. Go give me first 2 Ezra chapter 1, verse 25 and 27. Let me see what the man is saying. Matter of fact, take it to verse 20 to 25 and 27. Take it to 2 Ezra chapter 1, verse 20 to 25 and 27. Then we'll go wherever we did say. We'll spend, hold that up, Seer. How about giving me 2 Ezra chapter 1, verse 20 to 25 and 27? What can I say, Sister G. Israel, Steve Roy? What did I say?
2 Ezra chapter 1, verses 20 through 25 and verse 27. 2 Ezra chapter 1. Verse 20. When you were thirsty, I not cleave the rock, and waters flowed out to your fill. For the heat, I covered you with the leaves of the trees. 21. I divided among you a fruitful land. I cast out the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and the Philistines before you. What shall I yet do more for you, saith Yahweh? 22. Thus saith Almighty Yahweh, when you were in the wilderness, in the river of the Amorites, being athirst and blaspheming my name, 23, I gave you not fire for your blasphemies, but cast a tree in the water and made the river sweat. 24, what shall I do unto you, O Israel, you Yahdah Judah? What shall I do unto you, O Israel? You, Yahdah Judah, wouldst not obey me. I will turn me to another nation, to other nations, and unto those will I give my name, that they may keep my statutes. 25. Seeing you have forsaken me, I will forsake you also. When you desire me to be gracious, merciful unto you, I shall have no mercy unto you. Verse 27. You have not, as it were, forsaken me, but your own selves, saith Yahweh.
You know what I'm just saying? You ain't forsaking me. He said, you ain't forsaking you. He said, you do it to yourself. Because you got in a room with the man, said, he told Paul in the 44th chapter. Now let's go to Vision of Paul. Now, Paul is writing the end time prophecy. Before you read 44, give me Vision Paul, verse 3 first. Then read 44. So, listen to me. Six and on the count. Understand one thing. When we come on this network, I take notes just as quick as you take. I'm better than you because I'll be writing down what when you hear a small step, boy, I'll be writing down stuff as it go along too. See, you use this for amusement, but this man got something for you when it's all said and done if you don't obey what them scriptures are saying. What them scriptures are saying, if you don't obey the scripture, you're going to be in a whole heap of trouble. Vision of Paul, verse 3 says what?
The vision of Paul, number 30, and number 44. Vision of Paul, number 3. While I was in the body in which I was snatched up to the third heaven, the word of Yahuwah came to me saying, speak to the people. How long will you transgress and heap sin upon sin and tempt Yahuwah who made you? You are the sons of Yahuwah, doing the works of the devil in the face of Yahuwah the Son, on account of the impediments of the world. Remember, therefore, and know that while every creature serves Yahuwah, the human race alone sins. It reigns over every creature and sins more than all nature.
Before you reach that, come back to 2 Ezra and give me 1, 2, and 3. So you see, he's telling you, Southern Kingdom, that is the leader of all the other tribes. He said, you are the children of the Most High. That's what he said. But you're doing the works of Satan the devil. I gave you a dress code. I gave you a Sabbath day. I gave you, what else can I do for you? You refuse to follow what I got written in this book. Don't you know that he got something written? I got to put a rabbi hat on now. Do you know in St. John 12 he got something written? The Spirit said, yes, dear, but I got something in the 12th chapter. Why don't you go read it? Okay, good. Hold that point there, Sister G. Israel. It's from the St. John chapter 12. And look what he says here in St. John chapter 12, verse number 47 and 48. Look what the man says in St. John 12, 47 and 48. This is him talking. And what did he say?
John chapter 12, verses 47 through 48. John chapter 12, verse 47. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world of the 12 tribes of Israel. 48. He that rejecteth me and received not my words, has one that judges him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day.
The word that I have spoken is going to judge you in the last day. Do you understand? The word that you hear coming out of the Bible from the Sixth Anointed Council is what's going to judge you in the last day. What's going to judge you? The words that you hear coming from this broadcast 6 nights a week. That is what's going to judge you the last day. That's what a man just said. So that's why we're going to make sure you hear the word. It's up to you to continue to pay it, no, never mind. But the same words is going to come right back to you when he raises you back up. We read it over there in the Vision of Paul 36. What the mental spirit going to say to you. He going to come with that razor. And we read, Paul was snapped up from heaven to tell what's going to happen in the time to come. But it'd be no surprise. Now, let's go back to 44 and let's find out something else. Now, what happened in verse 44 there? Now, Paul is talking from time to come. 44, vision of Paul. Listen to Paul talk. What he say?
The vision of Paul, number 44. And
go ahead.
I looked.
Hold on. Did we get that on second? There was a 1, 2, and 3 out the way?
No, you want me to? Okay. Second Ezra, chapter 1, verse
23. Yeah, what's that say?
Okay. Second Ezra, chapter 1, verse 23. I gave you not fire for your blasphemies, but cast a tree in the water and made the river sweet.
What do you say? He didn't give you for your blasphemy. He said he gave you what?
I gave you not fire for your blasphemies.
The man said, I didn't give you. He said, when you blaspheme Yahweh, he said, I gave you not some fire. See, here's the problem I'm trying to tell you, Steve Ray. Now, hold that point. I got to put a rabbit out of the head on that. Let's go to Enoch 45, verse 1. So, this is the first book of Enoch 45, 1. He says, when you blaspheme my name, he said, I gave you not fire. So, do you understand something, Steve Ray? That name is so important, and when you continue to blaspheme that name, you don't you know in trying to come, that's all you're going to get is fire? He said, I gave you not fire when you blaspheme that name. But I'm going to throw some wood on you and got you straight. But really, when you blaspheme the name, I'm keep telling you, you sit around these ministries, and they holler the Lord God, Jesus, Allah, and Buddha. You blaspheme the man's name, the man gonna get that preacher sometimes. Don't you just say that, Dave? Right there. Now, we're gonna precept and go into the future. We'll go all the way in the future by Enoch and see what he says, and we're gonna comment what he said in 45 verse 1. Let's read a little bit. What he say in 1 Enoch 45 verse 1?
1 Enoch chapter 45. Verse 1, and this is the second parable concerning those who deny the name of the dwelling of the righteous ones and Yahweh of spirits.
What is the parable? Parable, huh? You mean Enoch doing parable? Yes, Enoch is doing duop. Enoch is doing parables called duop. What do you say next? You read a little bit more.
Two. They shall not ascend to heaven, and they shall not come on the earth. Such shall be the lot of the sinners who have denied the name of Yahweh of spirits, who are preserved for the day of suffering and tribulation. Three.
What were you saying again? You read verse 1 and 2 again. What did you just got to read? Verse 1 and 2.
And this is the second parable concerning those who deny the name of the dwelling of the righteous ones and Yahweh of spirits. Two, they shall not ascend to heaven, and they shall not come on the earth. Such shall be the lot of the sinners who have denied the name of Yahweh of spirits, who are preserved for the day of suffering and tribulation.
You mean Enoch is saying, now I don't want to misquote Enoch, but Sister D, can you break down what Enoch is putting in the book? What is he saying in 45, 1 and 2? What is he saying? Go ahead.
The parable concerning the ones who deny the name of the dwelling of the righteous ones, 12 tribes of Israel, and Yahweh of spirits, deny YHWH the name. And they shall not go up, and they shall not come on earth, because they are sinners for denying the name of Yahweh. They are preserved for suffering, and they're preserved for tribulations.
Ain't that something? You mean if I deny the name, that I'm not coming, I'm not going to heaven, which is going to be on earth. He says, and then, let's show you exactly Let's show you that it's prophesied. Now let's come to the 19th chapter of Luke. Let's show you what is that. So here's the point. We found out one thing. Enoch said, if you deny the name, you will not be in the kingdom of Yahuwah. So those that send that call this man by Lord God and Jesus, the Lord gonna fix it. He said, you are not. And Enoch will be present when this thing unfolds. You is not getting into the kingdom of Yahuwah unless you do a Mark 1:15. Matter of fact, we say Mark 1:15. You're on the way out. See, these puffed up spirits is going to get you and anybody in contact with you thrown somewhere we're getting ready to read. But your only way out is Yahuwah says in 1:15 tomorrow. What did Yahuwah say in 1:15? So you tell your auntie, you tell your uncle, you tell your mama, you tell your kinfolk, dad, whatever, brother. Listen, if you ain't using the name YHWH out of your mouth, the man going to burn you in the fire with punishment. Now, see, I know they're going to say, look here, what you just said, now we got to separate here. If I'm in your house and you in my house, somebody got to leave here, that kind of stuff. I know my sweet Jesus ain't going to throw me in the fire because I ain't calling him YHWH. But we just read on the contrary, yes, Mom, if you don't use the name, according to the 45th chapter of Enoch, the man going to burn you in the fire. Yes, Mom. Yes, my brother. If you don't use the name YHWH, the man going to burn you in the fire. We just got to read it. Now, what are we reading now, Israel?
Mark chapter 1, verse 15.
What does it say?
Mark chapter 1, verse 15. And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of Yahuwah is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel, polluted for good news of the covenant.
So you see the man saying? He said, what awakening you is the kingdom. You got to repent. He said, you're on the way out. You got to repent. You got to put that Lord God and Jesus out your throat. You better tell your Lord one day, listen, if you use the Lord God, and you got to repent. Because we can read the future. They're going to burn you in the fire. And we're going to read what the man is going to say that's in the fire. Shortly. Precept that in 3:19 of Acts. He can tell you something in 3:19. Acts 3:19.
Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent you, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Then the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of Yahuwah.
See, now keep that, now watch that. Keep that in your mind. Repent, for the time of refreshing is at hand. Now, the key word, at the time of the refreshing at hand. Now, Paul going to seal a deal by showing when the refreshment man come shortly. But after we read, this brother, he wants to be like the 17 nations. He want to wear his purple clothing. Now, let's see exactly what happened to him in the 19th chapter, and we're going to pick it up at verse number 22. We're going to pick up at 22 down to verse 28. Now, listen to this. Now, we're just going to see what it says. Luke chapter 19, 22 down to verse 28. What's going on there, Sister G. Israel, with that verse? Come on.
Luke chapter 19, verses 22 through 28. Luke chapter 19, verse 22. And he saith unto him, out of your own mouth will I judge you, you wicked servant.
Hold on, Israel. I'm wrong on somebody. Make it 16. Yeah, that's a good hit too. A wicked servant, but make it 16. I don't know why I said 19. I'm looking right at 16:22. Mm-hmm. Make it 16:22 down to verse 28. Luke chapter 16, verse 22 down to verse 28.
Luke chapter 16, verses 22 through 28. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the ministering spirits unto Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. 23. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that you in your lifetime receiveth your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. 27. Then he said, I pray you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. 28. For I have five brethren, and he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment.
You hear that? So you're dead in right there. And dead in right there. And Yahweh going to show you after every Sabbath day, he gonna take the one that made it into the kingdom. Every Sabbath day in the 66th chapter, he's going to take them from one Sabbath, from one month to the next, and let you peek down at your loved ones. So every Sabbath. So you don't keep the Sabbath day, right? But let's see what Yahweh said about the mouth of the seer in the 66th chapter, verse 22 to 24. See, we tell you something. You hurt yourself when you're not doing Yahweh's bidding. Let me tell you what Yahweh is going to do in the 66th chapter, verse 22 to 20 to 24. Look what you're going to do after the service class is over. He said, now the Sabbath day is over, isn't it? But I want all y'all to come out and take a little walk with me, and I'm going to show you something. Let's see what he's going to show them. 66:22 down to verse 24.
Isaiah?
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah chapter 66, verse 22 through 24. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith Yahweh, so shall your seed and your name remain. 23. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon, one month, to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Yahweh. 24. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh.
You remember you read, he said it's going to be a gulf that's fixed. And that gulf is fixed, is this what you call right here. So that gulf is fixed with fire. And he says that after the Sabbath-day class, what going to happen after the Sabbath-day class, according to that Bible that's for Jesus right here? After the Sabbath-day class over with, according to them verses, what going to happen after the Sabbath-day class over with?
And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the people that have transgressed sinned against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall